It's good to see everybody this evening. I think we do know why a lot of folks aren't here. They're traveling and have other obligations this evening, and hopefully during the course of those obligations they're finding an opportunity to worship God. We certainly are appreciative of those who have taken the time to come out tonight and share with us in a furtherance of the thoughts that we had begun looking at there in the book of Colossians. In Colossians, the third chapter, the first four verses, we read this morning about the fact that Paul wrote to them and said, "If then you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory." As I pointed out this morning, over the next five services, we're going to be looking at different aspects of this particular verse. It just so happens that this evening's, and as soon as I say this, it'll turn out to be a longer sermon, this evening's is going to be rather short. This morning we talked about the first section that said, "If then you are risen with Christ." And in doing so, we talked about the advantages of looking to things above and not things of the earth. We also made the point, and I want to emphasize it again this evening, that when we think about the idea in verse 2 of setting our minds on things above, that it is important, as a Dr. Lightfoot once said, that it is necessary that you must not only seek heaven, but you must think heaven. Also think heaven. So the challenge is that we not only seek to go to heaven, but we think about going to heaven. And while that should be a natural thing, I think at times we just let ourselves get so busy with the world that we don't think enough about heaven. This evening we're going to talk about the simple expression, "For you died." Now when we talk about this idea, and if you have your Bibles open there to Colossians, you'll note there with the idea of "for you died," the word "died" is a word that we really are quite familiar with when we think about the idea of what it is when the body is separated from the soul. And we think usually of death in that way. And yet, in a practical sense, we use the term "died" in a number of ways that have nothing to do with our souls departing our bodies. We may talk about something at work, that idea got out there and, you know, after a while it just died of its own. We may find another area where we say, "Well, you know, I had this thought, but it just never came to anything. It just kind of died." You may have been in a position at times when you've had an idea and you presented it to your boss, and later you got something back that said, "Sorry, but that was DOA. They didn't have a chance." So we think about it in a lot of different ways, but obviously tonight when we talk about this idea of dying, we're talking about the idea of being separated. We're being separated not from our soul and our body, but we're being separated from something. We're not being separated from a relationship with God. In fact, what's happened from this word within our text is that just the opposite has happened. We've gone from a separation, having been associated with the world, separating ourselves from the world. So it's a little peculiar in that usually we think of being separated in a negative sense, but here we're separated from the world, and that's going to allow us to have a deeper, more meaningful relationship with God. Now, again, on the negative side, while we think of it with regard to physical death, we also have the idea of being separated from God that's often associated in our minds with separation. But that's not what our text is about tonight. The separation from God are those individuals who have separated themselves spiritually from God. And it's happened to every human being that reaches an age of accountability. When they allow the lust of the flesh, the lust of the mind, and the pride of life to take over and have the cognitive ability to recognize those things and give in to those things, it's at that point that one has separated from that relationship they had with God when they were first born into this world. One of the most difficult things that we have in trying to answer with for people about the idea of when does one reach the age of accountability is that we don't have a passage to turn to, and in that passage say, oh, here is where one no longer is in a covenant relationship or in a safe relationship with God. But we do have the ability, I believe, to reason, as I said a moment ago, with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that usually occurs sometime within what we've come to know as the early teen years, the later teen years for some individuals. There may be, for a number of reasons, different times when one reaches that point when they recognize, I'm not in the relationship I had with God at birth. I have to say to myself, if asked, I'm a child of the devil. I think I've told you this before, that that's one of the questions I ask young people that express a desire to obey the gospel and they're in their pre-teens or early teens. What is your relationship with God is really, as I pose it to them, do you consider yourself a child of the devil? And many, many times the answer is no. And they truly don't have any concept of that. And I think it's because they're still reaching that point in their minds and in their development, and they are eventually going to come to that point where they see that they are now a child of the devil, and they're going to want to take appropriate action. But back to our text, what we're recognizing here is that it is the positive relationship that we have with God as we separate ourselves from the evil around us. So in what way are we going to find ourselves in this being dead, if you will? It's how one is going to serve God. That's going to define what it means to be dead. The spiritual should be that which allows us to examine within ourselves that which shows that we no longer walk like we once walked when we were of the flesh. And by that I don't mean the physical flesh, but when we were fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life with no sense of a consequence before God. Now we have recognized it. We have put it to death. We have separated ourselves to God and away from that relationship that is centered around Satan. This death then means certainly putting away certain practices within our lives. An individual that is following or falling into the categories that are talked about here in Colossians 3, the first four verses, they should be able to look at their lives both in hindsight and in current life standing, and they should be able to look and say, here are things that I once did as a non-believer, as one who was a servant of Satan, that I no longer participate in. There should be things that you very readily could call to mind. I don't know if you'd ever thought about it like that before, but it's true. There should be things that you should be able to say, this is what I was like before I obeyed the gospel, this is what I'm like now. And it's a distinction, it's a separation. We've separated ourselves from the world is what we're really talking about in this regard. Over in the third chapter, in the fifth verse of Colossians, Paul goes on to say, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It's interesting, if you go back to the original language, this put to death is really just one big word that's talking about the fact that we are mortifying those things that once were part of who we are as non-believers, as children of Satan. We put that to death. We make those changes within our lives. And the reason we do that is because of our death in Christ that we talked about this morning, both in Colossians, the second chapter, and then in Romans, the sixth chapter. Those coupled together show us that coming out of the waters of baptism, hey, we're about to walk a new life. We're about to live in a new way, and there needs to be visible changes in the way we conduct ourselves. Continuing on in Romans of the 6th chapter, while we read a few verses this morning, look at what he says in verse 9 through 11. In fact, a lot of the rest of that 6th chapter of Romans is just really excellent material to remind us of what we are in Christ as opposed to when we were in Satan. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul is telling the Romans, we understand what Christ did for us in going to the cross. Now it's time for us to recognize and think of ourselves as being dead as well to sin. So that when we have the temptations that we'd had in the past, and we yielded to them in the past, we now think about them in a different mindset. The mindset is in relation to who we are. We are dead in those relationships with the world. We are dead in that relationship with Satan. We are alive in a relationship that we have with God. Our death in Christ is a death to sin. These verses throughout the 6th chapter of Romans, when we really get instilled within us the full impact of those verses, are going to be extremely helpful for us in our growth as Christians to say, I just don't do that anymore. I know we read this morning about let him that stole steal no more. Not just that kind of thing, but there are other things that I did in the past. That's just not who I am. That's not my nature any longer. My death into Christ, rising to walk in the newness of life, means I brought with me through the waters of baptism a new nature, a nature that's centered around Jesus Christ. It is indeed our death to the world. Paul told the Galatians that in the 6th chapter, in verse 14. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. It's not always easy, because we oftentimes find ourselves surrounded with people that can have such a corrupt view of what it is to be a child of God that we might begin to think that their normal should become our normal, and we forget that we are dead to the world, that we should be alive to Jesus Christ. That's part of it. And while we center around the idea of baptism so often, and as we read these verses in 3 and 4 of Romans 6, I want you to think about it not just from the baptismal perspective and a clear understanding of why we're baptized, what baptism is, but look at the verses together and see what we come away with in relation to this lesson. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father... Now here's the part that we want to realize. This is the culmination of everything that he's just been talking about. Even so, we also should walk in that newness of life. What I want to do this evening is put a challenge before you, and I'm not a naive person, though I may appear to be somewhat naive. The challenge that I want to put before you this evening, I was really planning to put before more people than are here this evening. So others are going to be hearing this as we continue the lesson over the next couple of weeks. Open your Bibles, if you will, for a moment, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Here in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, look at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I've been talking throughout the lesson about the changes that need to take place within our lives. The challenge that I'm going to put forth to you tonight is for 2018. I don't think I've ever given a congregation this kind of challenge before. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody give you this kind of challenge before. Here it comes. As you read your Bible, and of course if you're doing it electronically, it's going to be tough, because if you put a little dot on your screen, it's not going to matter. Place a dot beside every sin you read about in 2018. Just have a pen or pencil. Pencil probably would be better. Later you might want to erase them. But what you'll find is there are a lot of sins that the world partakes in. And as you read them, you'll find that there were a lot of those sins that you participated in. And you'll probably, as you continue to read and make those dots and go back and read maybe in June or July something you'd read in March or April, and you come across, there's those dots again. And you know what? I've struggled with this dot since I put the dot there back in May or June or April. It will emphasize, I think, to us the fact that we always have before us the temptation of Satan to sin. And it's just to make us aware. I think in our 3 years together, you know that I'm not the kind of person that wants us to always be dwelling on sins. I can remember replacing somebody once, and an individual told me that there were 600 and some sins listed in the Scriptures, and they were making the number up to some degree. And they said the preacher before me had preached sermons on every one of them. That's all they ever heard from this man, was about the sins that are out there, the sins that we might be guilty of, the sins we might commit. Well, I got to tell you something, and I'll never tell you who the person was, but there's some value in that. I think we want to be careful not to be always negative and looking and with gloom about our Christian walk. And you certainly don't hear that from me. But I do want us to be just aware of how much sin is talked about, especially in the New Testament, and how much of it at times can affect us. So please take that challenge. Adopt beside every sin. And when I mention that next Sunday morning, you'll have a heads up on everybody else. Adopt beside every sin that you read of in the Bible. Don't put a dot beside every sin that you're committing or that you're battling, but a dot beside every sin, whether it's a problem for you or not. And I hope what it'll do is simply bring to mind, hey, these are the things that I've separated myself from in Jesus Christ. And therefore, I'll be able to say, I've died to those things. They're not a part of who I am. They're not a part of what I am about. The Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the life that is hidden with Christ in God. And then, because next Sunday night is our song service, the following Sunday, the first Sunday of 2018, the Lord willing, we're going to talk about this wonderful statement, when Christ appears, and all the blessings and all the wonder that that will entail for us. I hope the thoughts that I've shared with you this evening are of value to you. We are going to, as we always do, sing a song of encouragement. As John said, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I would hope that you will find yourself looking at the Word, understanding where you are in relation to the Word, and if correction needs to be made, then make the corrections. If you find yourself in darkness, tonight's the time to leave that darkness and come to the light of Jesus Christ. Not just come near the light, but come into the light of Christ through the waters of baptism. If you have a need to respond to the invitation, we invite you to have a seat here at the front as we stand together and as we sing.